Right now, it is time to bring in Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Arthur joins us every Monday morning at this time, and we talk all about food. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning. It is like a steam room here.
Yeah. It's the humidity is back.
The humidity and, you know, whatever. It's oppressive. I don't know about you, but, you know, it's rain already. Anyway, it is the season for many things, but I've gotten stuck on, let me say, this comes under the It's a New World category. Are they string beans or green beans? I said string beans to somebody the other day. They had no idea what I was talking about.
That's what we used to call them, yeah.
Pardon me?
That's what we used to call them.
That's what they used to be called.
Yeah. That's what they
are. And for good reason. Yeah. They had strings. I do remember sitting in my grandmother's kitchen.
And picking it off, yeah.
And, you know, tipping and ending beans, and there was a string between, so you had to pull it off. And actually, every once in a while, you'll still get a string on a green bean. But I have somebody coming for lunch this week who has what we used to call heartburn, chronic heartburn, then it become acid reflux, and it's a serious condition, actually. I shouldn't make fun of it. But now it's not called that. Also under the category of It's a New World, it's not called that anymore. It's called Geld.
Yeah.
You know this?
Well, yeah, because I suffered from acid reflux my whole life.
Oh, well, so what do you call it?
Acid reflux. Guys, you know, that's what it is.
Yeah, you know, my dear friend Cecilia has very bad acid reflux, but it's under control with medication,
yeah,
and diet, meaning she doesn't drink coffee in a long time, although she does, I must say, sneak it in sometimes. But anyway, back to my guest, who thinks this is a challenge, doesn't realize that not having acid foods or the very few things that she should not be eating is some kind of a burden, because, you know, nowadays you invite people over and you have to ask, you know, is anybody gluten-free, is anybody vegan, yada, yada, yada. So you know the routine. So this is easy. But one of the things I've been yearning for, because it's the season to make it for me, is vegetarian chopped liver. This is a old Yiddish specialty I say this is the season for, because the green beans, or string beans, whatever you want to call them, are at peak season right now. And I did walk by a big batch in the farmer's market last week, so this week I had to buy them and make vegetarian chopped liver. So vegetarian chopped liver is not chopped liver at all, of course. It's slightly overcooked vegetable. By me, it's string beans. Some people make it with peas. In fact, in the old days, they used to make this with canned string beans and canned peas. And hence, I think, the name vegetarian chopped liver, because it has that sort of gray-brown color in the end. So it's a vegetable. I use string beans. I use fresh string beans. I do cook them longer than I would cook them if I was just going to make string beans, with a lot of fried onions. That gives it that chopped liver flavor, actually. Walnuts, which are something of substance in here, and hard-cooked eggs, or hard-boiled eggs, whatever you call them. And this is the recipe I make most from my book, Jewish Home Cooking. For one thing, I would make the potato kugel a lot, but we're not eating so much potato kugel, or noodle kugel, although I had a thought of making it this week, for this friend who doesn't eat tomatoes. Anyway, here's my proportions. For 2 pounds of string beans, or green beans, whatever you want to call them, I like to snip off certainly the stem end, and also the other end. But in this case, because you're going to grind them all up in the end, it's not essential, the tail part, as they call it. So wash them well. And then I still follow my recipe for cooking them, even though most of the time these days I steam string beans. In this case, I do boil them in very large amount of water. So 2 pounds of string beans, use, you see, I fall back on that string beans. I can't say green beans. You for 2 pounds of them all cleaned up, and there's a lot of waste, actually. You want about 5 quarts of water, rolling boil, with a, I would say, a rounded tablespoon of water, of salt. When the water comes to a boil, add the salt. And then cook them 8 to 10 minutes. It depends on the string beans, the green beans, whatever they are. This is a good recipe even for slightly overgrown string beans, meaning the thick ones. But you want them very tender. And drain them, and then let them cool without rinsing them or anything. In fact, you know, it'll just continue to cook a little while they cool down, and that's a good thing in this case. So that there's your base. A cup of walnuts. I'll tell you how to put this all together in a minute. I use minimum 3 cups, could be even 4 cups, of sliced onion, which I fry in about 3 tablespoons of vegetable oil until they're brown, until they're really brown, and some of them even could be, you know, a little more than brown. You don't want them to be just tender. You want them brown. And if you have to turn up the heat under them at the end when they're cooking, the onions, do, just to get them brown before they turn totally to mush. And then 5 hard-boiled eggs. I grind this all up in my food processor. I did it in a new order the other day, yesterday. I first ground up the walnuts pretty well. I didn't want to make a paste out of them, so I got them out of the processor into a bowl just before they were getting pasty, but they were very fine. And then I pulsed the 5 hard-boiled eggs until they were nice and finely chopped. By the way, I let them cool thoroughly before I do this. If you do them while they're warm, they tend to mush up. And I took that out of the processor. And then I put in, my onions were all fried already. I put in about half of my string beans with a half of everything else. And pulsing, and letting it whirl a little bit. I don't like it pasty. So at one point, I took the cover off and stirred it from the bottom up, and then pulsed again. And when it's pretty fine, scrape it into a bowl. Oh, salt and pepper, by the way. Put it in the processor. I don't know, 1/2 teaspoon of salt per batch. And remember, you've very well salted the string beans when they cook, so you don't need a lot of salt. And then finish them off and mix it all together, pepper to taste. I like a little bit more pepper than some people. You can. By the way, so mix it all up together. The two batches never come out exactly the same, so you do have to mix in a big bowl. And I would say you have to refrigerate this for a half a day to let the flavors blend, but I make it, this makes a lot. This makes at least 6 or 7 cups, so it's a lot. You only eat a half a cup at a time. It's rich, too. Not a lot of fat, though. It's good for all kinds of diets. You don't have to be a vegetarian to like vegetarian chopped liver. So I'm making that. So the other thing I have to make at this time of the year are the beans that I call Roman flat beans. They have a bunch of names. In Rome, they're called fagiolini corallo, or I've heard coralline, meaning little corallo. And here they're called Romano beans or Roman beans or flat green beans. They have different names, but they're wide. They're usually about 1 inch wide, and they need long cooking. You can't just, these are not beans to eat al dente. You want to stew them well. So what I do is, first of all, I do very traditional Roman-style cooking of Roman beans. There are many other ways to make Roman beans. But the traditional Roman way is you sauté an onion. I would use it for a pound of flat beans, Roman beans. I would use one small onion, and I'd sauté the onion slowly in a good amount of olive oil, maybe 3 tablespoons of olive oil for a small onion. It's a lot. Italians might even use more. And when it's tender, add the beans, which do need to be washed, of course. I like to cut them, and I cut them on an angle that it looks good. I've seen people cut them it like trapezoids, and that looks good too. But I do. We can just cut them in half. However, you know, it depends on how big they are. Some of them are pretty long. Anyway, you turn the beans, well washed and cut, with the onion and the oil, and let them all get coated. And they're going to turn from raw green to a cook color green almost immediately. In the end, they're not going to be that pretty, but in the beginning, they're very pretty. So you turn them until they look like they're starting to cook, and then I add a small can of plum tomatoes. Now, this being tomato season, you may want to use fresh tomatoes. I would say 3 or 4 plum tomatoes, which I personally would peel by, you know, dipping them in hot water for a minute each and then peeling off the skin. Comes right off, chop them up, and put them in the pot with the beans, salt, and pepper. No herb yet. And cover the pot and let it simmer on low heat. It's going to take 40 or 50 minutes. It could take an hour. I like my beans very tender. And these beans turn meaty. I only can describe them as meaty. And in fact, if you want to add a potato to this, you can cut up a potato and stew it along with the beans, and you've got meat and potatoes. Really, you're vegetarian meat and potatoes. So speaking of potatoes, normal string beans, green beans, I can't get out of that habit. It's a lifelong habit. Are very good with potatoes. And one of my favorite late summer things, I have to say, I ritualistically make this, is a salad of string beans. I'm going to make it today, actually. String beans and potatoes with raw red onion. Now, if you don't like raw onion, here's a hint. Take your red onion, or even a white onion or yellow onion, and soak it in cold water. If you soak onion in cold water, it takes out the sting and emphasizes the sweetness of onions, which are sweet. That's why we're able to brown them when we fry them. The sugars caramelize. So for a pound of string beans, green beans, I would use... You know, it's hard to find a small red onion, but if you do, use it. And at my farmer's market, they actually have freshly dug young red onion. That would be great, because they're even sweeter than the mature ones. But a piece of a red onion. I mean, you don't need a lot. What you need a lot of is olive oil. And you should dress your potatoes and string beans, green beans, while they're warm. For a pound of string beans, I would say a half a pound of potatoes and maybe a quarter of your normal size, way too big, red onion. You could either slice it very fine or you can dice it, whichever you like. Toss that with at least 3 tablespoons, probably more, of olive oil. And as an acid, you can use a red wine vinegar, white wine vinegar, lemon juice, whichever you prefer. Salt, I like a lot of salt on this. And this also, after you've dressed it, should probably stand for a while before you serve it, but don't put it in the refrigerator. It should stand at room temperature, which, you know, I don't know. in this weather, my room temperature is probably 80 degrees. When in the old days, when they said room temperature, this is before heating, before central heating. I would not want to be, I have to say, in the northwest corner rainforest today.
No.
No.
It's tomorrow's going to be worse.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So what to eat when the weather is like this is a good thing, to just cook up some string beans. In there. Oh, so here's another one that I do, and I just did the other day. This is very Greek. By the way, herbs and beans, basil, parsley, mint. Gotta mention in that salad of potato, red onion, and string beans, I would use mint. And I'm lucky enough to have a mint patch right downstairs. And I think everybody can find some mint. But if not, basil. And if really not, dried oregano. Just make sure you sort of powder it in between your fingers. And, as I said, dress while warm. No, I make beans with egg and lemon sauce. Now, this sounds like some kind of fancy thing, but it's not. It's just you boil or steam your string beans to the whatever texture you like. We like ours relatively well-cooked, not crisp. And when you're ready to eat them, and by the way, in this case, if you want to rinse them with cold water to stop the cooking when they're at the point you like, that's not a bad idea. Because in the end, you're going to reheat them. And reheating them is a glug of olive oil, or I prefer actually butter, only a tablespoon for like a pound of beans, and saute them in the butter for a few minutes until they're heated through. And while you're doing that, beat together with a fork in a cup the juice of half a lemon and an egg. If you like it very lemony, you could put more than juice of half a lemon. The juice of half a lemon is considered to be a tablespoon of lemon juice. And if it's a fresh, nice lemon, it will be 2 tablespoons per lemon. But 1 tablespoon is enough for this. Beat it together, and as soon as the beans are heated through, take them off the heat, pour on the egg and lemon juice, and quickly stir the beans in this dressing. And the egg, of course, will cook and thicken. That's why you don't want the pan too hot. You don't want scrambled eggs here. You just want the egg to thicken enough to coat the string beans. I add a little more salt because I'm a salt fiend. And that's it. And that is really delicious. And that's another thing I sort of can eat for its own sake. But it goes with almost anything. Lamb. You know, Rome, lamb is the meat to eat.
You know, my grandmother used to make me. I didn't like the string beans back then. But she used to make string beans with a little bit of sautéed in butter, with a little bit of garlic, salt, and pepper, and then she'd put crispy onions in it.
Oh.
And it was good, whether it was hot, yeah, whether it was cold. It was. And you'd eat it because you had the taste of the onions and the sautéed butter and as
butter
a kid,
and onions, yeah. Butter and onions. I real estate brokers tell you to bake something with cinnamon when people come to look at your house to entice them. My idea is saute some onions in butter.
You're laughing. I used to tell that to my vet, Carrie Cannon, when a cat litter problem and someone was coming to the house, I'd saute onions with butter. The house smelled beautifully.
Anyway, I don't really want to cook today. It is so humid. I guess I do not have any air conditioning on right now. So usually by this hour, you know, it's still okay. But it's not even that hot, by the way. It's actually an ideal temperature. It's just there must be 99% humidity.
Yeah, when I walked out this morning, it was a. It's the type of thing where you walk out into it. It's not the heat. There's just a little, you feel this little wave of thickness in the air.
Well, I had the window open wide this morning. Uh-huh. I needed morning air, but maybe time to shut everything down.
Yeah, turn the air conditioners on.
Yeah, well, I mean, if we want to eat today. Yesterday, I was about to cook lunch, not just for us, but for my next-door neighbor, Ellen. And then I said, you know, I already cooked this morning to make whatever. I couldn't face it, so we went out for Chinese.
I was just going to say, either go out or order in.
Well, we could order in, but I wanted something that was, it's from a restaurant that's, well, first of all, I wanted to get out of the house. It was important just to get out of the house. And this Chinese restaurant that where I wanted something, where I knew what I wanted, it takes forever for them to deliver because they're far away, but they will deliver. But anyway, it's always better in the restaurant. Let me say, it is always better in the restaurant. Even though I ate something cold yesterday, which nobody else would eat, so I had to eat it all myself, which was a tripe and beef tendons with chili sauce, with chili oil. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds good.
Well, I mean, if you like weirdo meat, I mean, I have always have trouble finding anybody to share organ meats with me. We went to a Turkish restaurant on Saturday, a new place in the neighborhood, and you know the Turks make sensational liver, little cubes of liver seasoned and fried. Nobody at the table would eat that with me. I mean, really, it was. Always like that.
See, now liver, if it's as a kid, I used to hate it, but if it's prepared the right way, my grandmother was great. She got me to eat liver by making liver dumpling soup.
Look, I go to a restaurant where they have a plate with testicles, hearts. Don't ask. I just told you the worst anyway. And I love this dish. And with potatoes and onions.
Well, there you go.
There you go, right?
It's true.
And it's fried.
You can't ask for anything better than that.
Exactly. So come to Brooklyn and let me you'll be the only person that can get to eat it with me.
What else is it when you order that, what do they all order? Bologna sandwiches?
I don't know. I do have one friend who not only will he eat that with me, but I just discovered, he didn't tell me this, but I just discovered that he goes to this restaurant without me and another friend who eats organ meats, and they order that for lunch. It's, you have to have two people, so it's just a big portion, and it's rich. It's not for one person. This is the kind of place where, you know, a table for four is the smallest they have. Usually the tables are for eight or more. It's that kind of place. It's the Azerbaijani restaurant that I've talked about before.
I just don't understand it because people eat low-cost hot dogs and just about everything in the universe in low-cost hot dogs, and people, you know, it's true. I mean, if people were to
see, what about those chicken
chicken nuggets?
Nuggets.
Yeah, you're right. There's bone and everything in there that they chop up. They don't.
Oh, yeah. So I recently, I don't know why I looked this up, but I did. The difference between, because I keep hearing chicken tenders, not chicken nuggets.
Yeah.
So there is a big difference.
Yes.
Chicken tenders are whole pieces of chicken.
Yes.
Whereas chicken nuggets, beware.
It's, you know, they just don't waste anything. And that's the way with inexpensive Frankfurters. Now, you can get really nice Frankfurters that are prime cuts of meat and stuff like that, natural casing. But you get cheap Frankfurters. It's all the leftover cuts or whatever's there.
So this subject came up the other night at dinner with my cousin, who I discover he's the one who wouldn't eat any organ meat. But he also doesn't eat other things, including hot dogs. I say it's his form of rebellion because his father, who's also my cousin, loves hot dogs. And you know, like for me, not having any interest in cars was my form of rebellion to my father, who was an auto mechanic, and also restored cars, and was like into cars before the day when everybody was into cars. Anyway, we're talking about hot dogs, and I said, you know, it's a problem for me because Bob has trouble very often with natural casings, and all the good hot dogs these days have natural casings.
Yeah.
So my cousin, who doesn't eat hot dogs, said, didn't they used to have condoms made out of lambskin? Isn't that natural casings? And then we decided that maybe condoms were a very good casing. You could find lambskin condoms still these days. I don't know.
There's nothing better than a hot dog that's full with meat and has a thin natural casing that when you bite into it, you get that snap.
Yeah, it doesn't happen too often these days.
I know.
Because even with the natural casings, they're stinting on the fat. That's the problem for me. You know, that you used to be able to get that spurt of fat.
Yeah, yeah.
And juices, too. Anyway,
well,
I'm down on hot dogs these days. I'm preferring for a sausage, if everybody wants to know, Schaller and Weber, which is now distributed in supermarkets, is a pork store from the old, you know, Yorktown, Upper East Side of Manhattan, which used to be German and Eastern European. They're still there. And they make a well-distributed bratwurst. And I don't really like their cheese bratwurst because they're not enough fat. But their regular bratwurst, which you have to either boil or grill, whichever you prefer, I find it very easy to boil them for 10 minutes and they're nice and juicy, are very good. And there's a lot of good sausage out there that aren't necessarily hot dogs. You know, there's good kielbasa out there.
Oh, yeah.
What I'm missing, and I know where to get it, but I have to take a half-hour ride to get it, is I miss old-fashioned Jewish deli specials, which are really knockwurst. They were fat and juicy and spicy. Spicier, usually, than the hot dog at the same place. And the Mill Basin Deli here in Brooklyn does have very good specials, they call them. Maybe they call them knockwurst at this point. There's another one, string beans or green beans, knockwurst or specials.
You know, all I know is that, you know, when you bite into kielbasa, you get that snap and you get that juice. And LeBron's makes their own hot dogs, and same thing. You bite into that, you get the nice snap and a little.
Oh, wow. Cousin.
Yeah. So
they make their own hot dogs.
Yeah. They also sell pre-made hot dogs, but they make their own hot dogs. Yeah.
I'm impressed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I may have to come up and eat hot dogs.
That's right. I'll take you out on a tour.
I used to love hot dogs. For some reason, I don't love them anymore.
Well, I know you used to love hot dogs because when Burger King came out with the hot dog, you tried it there.
Yeah, I'll try anything. You know, I'm a glutton, but I always attribute it to a work ethic.
There you go.
I need to know these things for work.
It's like my father used to say, if you're going to get drunk, do it at a country club because you're not a drunk, you're a sportsman.
You know that I just, then you use that word sportsman. Where I live in Brooklyn used to be called Sportsman's Row. When I say used to be, it was built up as Sportsman's Row in the 1880s and 90s. And who were the sportsmen then? Were racing people. Mm. I don't know. When you say sportsman, to me these days I think of somebody with a rifle and a dog.
Well, back then it was a golf club or a tennis racket.
Okay.
That's how.
All right, my friend. Everybody have a cool week. It's going to be hard, but stay cool.
All right, Arthur. Have a good week.
Bye.
Bye. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven here this morning on The Breakfast Club on Robin Hood Radio.